Today we're going to do a little something on coincidence or reality, God's providence. Many things that has happened in the Bible that a lot of the people say today is coincidence, that it was just a coincidence. Anyone who doesn't believe the Word of God will tell you that a lot of it was coincidence. But it isn't. It's everything in that Bible, everything in the Word of God is for our edification, for God's edification, for our learning. Let's start off with the case that's seen in Matthew chapter 21, 18 through 22. It says here, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is this fig tree withered away? Jesus answered verily, and said unto them, Truly I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now, he had just left Jerusalem the night before and was going back into Jerusalem. And in verse 18, it said, "In the early morning at the dawn, as Jesus was coming back into the city, he was hungry." And verse 19 says, as he saw one single fig tree full of leaves only along the roadway, he went to it, but he found nothing but leaves on it. And knowing, because he is the Lord, and knowing that with the fig tree, the leaves and the fruit come out at the same time. When a fig tree blooms and the leaves become on it, the fruit is growing at the same time. "Never again shall fruit grow on you," he said. And the fig tree dried up and withered at once. When the disciples who were with him saw what happened to the fig tree, they questioned each other, wondering what they had seen, and asked how soon or how quickly the fig tree has withered away and died. And then Jesus, hearing their question, said, "Truly I say unto you, if you have faith, a firm, relying trust, and do not doubt, but believe with all your heart, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but you will even be able to remove a mountain from where it is and cast it into the sea. And whatever you do in prayer, whatever you ask for, really believing, having faith, it will be done, and you will receive it. Now, James chapter 1, let's go over there just for a second. I'm not going to spend much time in there. Verse 6, James chapter 1, verse 6. But he said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, he's saying there what Jesus was saying to the disciples at the fig tree. He was saying, if you ask me for anything, if you ask God for anything in prayer, and you really want it, believe it. God will give it to you if you really believe in God and believe in what you are praying for. And what he's talking about here is in back in verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This is what he's saying about verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it joy, all joy, but when you fall into diverse temptations, or you're surrounded by these temptations, these trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay? So he's telling you that when you go through these trials and you ask for the wisdom of how to go through this trial, he will give you whatever you ask for. He's not saying that he's going to give you everything that you ask for just because you ask for it. Okay? But it's during the trials. Let's go over to Luke 19, verse 29-40. Verse 29. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, when he came to Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent them, two disciples over there, as you go in, he said, you will find a donkey's colt tied on which no man has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here to me. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, you should say, because the Lord has need of it. So those two disciples went and found the donkey just as he had said. Was that a coincidence? No, that wasn't a coincidence. And they, as they were loosening the colt, its owner said to them, Why are you untying the colt? And they said, Because the Lord has need of it. Verse 35 through 40, you saw what happened. Verse 35 was Zechariah 9:9. Let's go back there. Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt and fold of an ass or a donkey. So it's telling you who they're talking about here. Verse 36, let's go back to 2 Kings 9:13. Chapter 9:13. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on top of the stairs and blew with the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. This is where they showed how the king was supposed to be treated, and that's why Jesus did that. At the same time, he told these disciples what to do and where to put the clothes. This is also in Psalm 45:5 and Matthew 21:7. All of this is not coincidence. Verse 37, as he was approaching the city at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God, extolling him exultantly and loudly for all the mighty miracles and the works of power that they had witnessed, crying, "Blessed or celebrated with praises is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, or freedom there from all distresses that are experienced as the result of sin, and glory or majesty and splendor in the highest heaven." This is the from the original Greek. The definitions, the different definitions that they give. Page 7, let's see, Psalm 118, 26. Let's read that. Psalm. I love it. This Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 26. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Psalm 117. We'll just read two verses because that's all we have time for. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Verse 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear him, fear the Lord, say that his mercy endureth forever. If you just read all the things that the Lord has said in this psalm, go down to verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. And the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send new prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has shown us the light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. If this isn't talking about our Lord and our King and our Savior, I don't know what is. Back in verse 40, he replied, I tell you that if they, the disciples and those that are with them, keep silent, the very stones will cry out. Now, a lot of people say that doesn't make any sense, but it does. And it's not a coincidence. Go back to Habakkuk 2:11. It says, for the stones shall cry out on the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. How could this happen? Remember the last time we did a little thing on who God was? Well, back in Genesis, it says that God created all of this stuff. God spoke to the fig tree, and it dried up. God speaks to any of his creation, and that whatever he created answers him back. Let's go over to Matthew 27:50-51. Jesus, this is when they were crucifying him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks did break themselves in half. They rent themselves. That was as told in Exodus 26:31-35 about the veil and what it stood for. It was torn apart. We can believe, or we believers can now come boldly to the throne of God because that veil had been rent. So we can go to the throne of God at any time and receive his grace. the rocks would have cried out to God themselves if the people didn't. If the disciples hadn't done this, then the rocks themselves would have cried out. What happened at that moment in time was all creation was doomed when Jesus was crucified on a cross. Let's go to Luke 23. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And Jesus had cried with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirits." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 33. Disciples say unto him, "When should we have so much bread in the wilderness?" This is Mark 15:33. Verse 33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, all of this that is done because Jesus Christ was God. When he gave up his ghost, the Lord, the Father, put the sins of the whole world upon his Son. This is when all of this stuff that people make up stories over happened. It's not coincidence, and it wasn't a thunderstorm, and it wasn't the way they make it in the movies. What happened at that moment in time was all of creation was doomed. When God put the sins of the whole world upon his Son, God the Son of God, when God the Father did this, he could not look upon his own Son. He can't look upon sin. At that moment in time, if you can just grasp it, God turned his back on Jesus. because of our sins. And the Son, looking down upon that cross, started to go out. It says there was darkness upon the whole earth. That's the whole earth. That couldn't be what they say. Well, there, at that time, there could have been an eclipse, which would have made it dark. They say there's a big thunderstorm, so it got dark. No. At that time, the sun, which was created by God, looked down and said, "My God, my God, they're crucifying my God, the God that created me." And it started to go out, and it caused darkness, not just where they were, but it says here in God's word, over all the earth. And the only thing that could cause darkness over all the earth, if there was no light anywhere, the stars lost their twinkle. The sun was going out. The earth itself looked up. It says here in the scriptures that the earth quaked. The earth looked up at the sun, at the cross, and said, "This is my God. They're crucifying my God, the God that created me." And it shook and quaked. The rocks themselves, it says here, the rocks broke in half. They rent. They broke in half. The rocks themselves looked up at the cross and said, "This is my God. My God. The one who has created me." They're killing him on the cross, on the cross. And the rocks broke themselves in that. That was not any coincidence. On the third day after the crucifixion, God took up his own Spirit again. He gave us our privilege to reign with him forever in his holy kingdom. He took up his spirit. They didn't take it away from him. He gave it and he took it back up. He went into heaven, and all we have to do is accept his payment for our sins. All of this is not coincidence. This is exactly what happened according to the scriptures. God can speak to any of his creation at any time. The promise that we have of God is if we truly believe in what is in this Bible, in this book, that he has written for us, then he will give us anything that we ask. But the main thing is the salvation of God. God, Jesus, is our salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Father, we just pray that if there's anyone with any doubt about this salvation, that they can say that it is nothing that they can do to earn it, but they have to accept what our Father did for us. He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. That Son was God Himself, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is God Himself, the three in one. Father, we just pray that if we accept what God the Son has done for us, that we're going to go into heaven. We know that for sure. Lord, just give us the courage and the belief in Him so that we can one day stand before that throne and have Your mercy bestowed upon us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, for His glory. Amen.